It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us today on the show. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of breaking news going on right now as we speak. We'll talk about it here in just a moment. I think the biggest news since yesterday, since the show, is the word that Casey Schumann is going to be taking over as the general manager at I-70 Speedway in 2023. Leaves a lot of questions to ask, and we'll get into those questions here in just a little bit. A lot going on. Last night, Logan Schuchart wins night number one at the Skagit Nationals. A good race between him and Brad Sweet there at the end of that race. So that was some pretty good stuff last night. A lot of streaming going on tonight. We got a lot of stuff to watch tonight, folks. If you are a motorsports fan, the one thing that you want to do tonight is there is plenty going on in the world of motorsports on Flow, Dirt Vision, Racing Dirt. A lot of good stuff going on tonight. Austin, how you doing today? You doing all right?
Hold on one second. There we go. The button wasn't working with me again.
Well, you got to get that. You got to get that button fixed. I bought you some spray.
I don't fix the button. Hey, that's not the problem.
I bought some spray over there. Did you see that?
Yeah, we'll see if it fixes it. But yeah. I wish I had better news for everybody. But it was announced this morning, and the news broke this morning about an hour ago. But at 3 o'clock this morning, Nick Hoffman, UMP modified standout, was involved in an accident on his way back to the Midwest at his toter home. Him and his father are currently in the hospital. Nick's not doing too well. He's in ICU with some head injuries, and more news are going to be, or more updates will be, announced, or announced throughout the day.
And where were they coming home from?
So Nick's kind of, I believe Nick's based out of Charlotte area down in North Carolina, where his Elite is, maybe Kannapolis. It's in NASCAR land down there, and he's originally from St. Louis area. He was on his way back to come race in the Midwest for the rest of the year, and I believe he had an accident in Kentucky.
Yeah, well, that's sad to hear. So we don't know any more than just some head trauma, right?
Yeah, he's sedated in ICU right now, and there'll be updates, throughout the day and, throughout the next couple of days. His father has a broken vertebrae, and is, waiting more tests before they have to do surgery.
What highway was that on?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say?
Just at 3 o'clock this morning.
Well, that's never good news when we hear that. You didn't even tell me that this morning when you walked in here.
Well, I figured I just keep,
shocked me with
well,
it.
Well, I figured I'd just keep the show like it usually is, where nobody talks about what we're going to talk about,
right,
and just kind of roll into it.
Fair enough. That's good enough. I get it. Kirk, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, that's the first time hearing that news as well. Shocking. Our prayers go out to the Hoffman family, Nick and his dad. Terrible news to start off the show today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, hopefully Nick Hoffman will be better, and that he'll recover from his injuries and getting back out on the road before you know it. Let's hope that happens.
Yeah, anytime you hear somebody's in ICU, that's very concerning. So,
what you guys think of that World of Outlaw race last night at Skagit Speedway for the Skagit Nationals?
Entertaining. Good race.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think about it, Austin? We watched it again this morning, you and I did together. What'd you think about that race? Did you think once Brad Sweet got out in the lead, did you think Logan Schuchart was going to be able to run him down and take the win?
I knew it'd be so the racing was okay. I wasn't too disappointed with it. The only part that I was disappointed on last night was the track surface. You look at the heat races, and nobody really passed. Maybe, one guy passed one car, maybe two, if that. But it was fight your way to the bottom and don't leave it in. And I was I caught the B main was a little bit better. The top was, there in a way, and, some guys could get a run, but it wasn't as good as it should be. And the feature, it was, the best was all night, and it was still, guys could make the top work, but it wasn't good enough, in my opinion, to put on, good two-lane racing. And it was all going to come down to lap traffic.
Yeah.
And, we saw it when Brad got the lap traffic, Logan had a shot because it forced – because all the lap cars were on the bottom, and it forced, Sweet to the top and
right. Opened
the door for Logan, and that's how Logan, got by him. And then the same thing happened at the end of the race when Logan got to lap traffic. It forced him to the top out of the preferred groove.
Right.
And here comes Sweet right back to him.
He didn't have a choice, really.
You didn't have a choice.
Right.
And, Shewhart did a really good job. I think it was on Tyler Thompson of coming maybe with two, three laps to go that he got to him and was stuck on the outside for a lap. And then once he got clear of him by half a car, he chopped him and it was
over.
It could have been worse. He could have came across his right front, but lap car understood that leader and he should have lifted, and which he did. And but that's what you have to do in that position. The track was kind of dirty. It was one lane on the bottom, and it just.
But there was times last night that both Logan Shewhart and Brad Sweet, they had to get up off of the bottom to work to maneuver the lap cars. Right?
Yeah, but the moment that they got clear of them,
they got back to the bottom.
So,
right.
it was weird because it looked like the track had some grip, but it was still loose. Like, it was kind of like dirty stuff, and it cleaned the bottom off, and the guys were throwing the loose stuff up to the top, and you would think it would try and build up, maybe build a cushion or some fluff to run in, and maybe give some guys something to lean on. And it really didn't. And it was just like, if you went up there and ran on it, you were just like on powder going nowhere. Ryan Timms tried it a couple laps in the B main and he made it work, but it wasn't enough to build a run. And it never really got cleaned off until maybe you could, like Corey Day did in the feature. But, the B main had, 10 cars in it?
Right.
And the feature had 24 cars, and half the cars were on the bottom, half were on the top. Where in the B main, you had one or two cars on the top.
I think the deciding moment for Logan Shewhart to get the victory was when Brad Sweet ran up on Michael Facento right there at the end of the race, and Facento was right in his way, and that really iced the cake for Logan Shewhart last night. Wouldn't you agree?
There,
at the end of the race,
it was. Just who could maneuver the lap traffic, the best, and not make any mistakes. And I also think that
That's where Brad struggled a little bit in the start of the
Brad
race.
Brad also made a comment that his car wasn't that good, and Brad's car was good, but it wasn't as good as Logan. Logan had the overall pace and was just getting through traffic, pretty good, and wasn't getting held up. And Brad kind of got held up a couple times, but still, you got to have a good car, and there's not very many nights that Brad has a car, not capable of winning. And I think he was capable of it, but it just lacked a handful of, maybe minor details or changes to it to make it good. He made a comment that, he wasn't pleased on how his dash ended, even though he won it. His crew wasn't pleased that, Logan was still that close to him and knew they needed to make some changes and try and get away. And the changes that they made, were good, but, weren't good enough to really satisfy their needs.
Donnie Schatz started to run them down there right at the end of that race too, didn't he? Because they started racing each other. They got in that lap traffic, and then here, next thing you know, Donnie Schatz is right there on top of him at the end of that race.
Yeah, that was just a product of Donnie, knowing where it was fast at and not leaving fast. And he was fortunate that, he had some clean track behind the leaders because they got, like you said, stuck behind lap cars, and he was just able to keep running his race. And then it was going to be tough to, with the track only being, it's about only wide enough to run three wide in some parts. So, if the leaders are kind of side by side and have a lap car pinned on the bottom, it was going to be hard for Donnie to get by anybody. But yeah, Donnie, only thing, if Donnie had a shot at winning, it would be if someone made a mistake and got over the cushion or got sideways and opened the door up. But
let me ask you this. Do you think that James McFadden, before he hopped the wheel of that lap car, might have had a chance to get in there and win that race?
I think you could count on that. You know, he went out, you know, fairly early on, so his car still had...
He was running third at the time, though.
Yeah, he still had a bunch of fuel to burn off the car, and really, well, let's see, they had 25-lap feature, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went out on lap 8, lap 7, so, you know, he still had a bunch of fuel to come off on the car and really allow his car to come to him, and, you know, if he was that, you know, pretty decent early on, you know, you can only imagine what it would be like, you know, as his car got better, if it was... you know, in correspondence to the track, you know, maybe kind of going away and his car getting better and still, you know, kind of set up for that, you know, he would have a shot at winning it.
Right. The battle of the 16-year-olds, Corey Day and Ryan Timms. Ryan Timms, after running second with the World of Outlaws, did not make the show last night. He come up one short in that last chance showdown.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Ryan didn't look impressive at all last night. You know, I missed his qualifying run. I missed actually all the qualifying, and I got to see the heat race in the LCQ. And, you know, he's just it's not his first time to Skagit, so you think,
right.
You know, maybe I don't think it was anything of lacking experience. Look, he went to two tracks last week and that he's ever been to and ran second. It's just, not really his night, I guess. It's just
the car wasn't as good as
it
should have been.
But also, too, you know, I feel like, you know, Ryan is really good about, you know, running really aggressive and really hard. So,
yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know, maybe he's ran, you know, at 120% for so long and kind of perfected it. You go to a track, you know, that doesn't race that way. Maybe you have to be a little more conservative and race a little more patient. And maybe it just didn't really fit his driving style, and that's why we kind of saw him struggle a little bit. I think, you know, he'll, you know, overcome that here in, you know, the, you know, coming years of, you know, going to new tracks and having to kind of change your driving style to adapt places. You know, not every track is just, you know, balls of the wall wide open and just who can drive it more aggressive or harder. So, like I said, it'll just come with experience, and hopefully, you know, he learned, you know, from last night, and hopefully he can rebound tonight and, you know, looks like the typical Ryan Timms.
Right. That was Logan Schuhart's third win at Skagit and the third win of the year with the World of Outlaws. I'm going to say this. You know, the Rudines own that racetrack now, right? They don't have Steve Beitler there to prep that racetrack like Steve has done for the last 10 years or whatever, how many years he's had that racetrack. But let me tell you something about Steve Beitler. Steve Beitler always knew how to prepare that racetrack to make it really racy and really solid. Maybe the new ownership group, maybe they just don't have a handle on the dirt yet. What would you think?
Well, I don't know if you could say that, because you look at, it was Dirt Cup when Sunshine won or swept the Dirt Cup. That track was awesome. It was slick to a curb up against the wall. The bottom was there. It was really racy. So
you're not buying any of
that? I'm not buying that at all. I don't know if, you know, they maybe added dirt to it or, you know, they had weather come in. But, I've seen better tracks there, a better surface there, you know, throughout the year. And it just really killed guys in the heat race. If you look at the heat race finishing, like I said, nobody really passed. If anybody passed, they might have passed one car. So,
if you look at it, Brad Sweet started on the pole. James McFadden started on the pole. Logan Schuhart started on the pole. And Jacob Allen started on the pole. And the guys that finished second, Logan Schuhart, he ran second in the... Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me back up. Shelton Hodgshield, he started third. He ran second in his heat race. Kerry Madsen started second, run second in his heat race. Carson Macedo started second, run second in his heat race. David Gravel started second and run second in his heat race. So that says a little bit about the racetrack right there.
And that's how it was pretty much throughout the whole, you know, four heat races that they ran.
Right.
So, you know, I'm glad it cleaned up and was good in the feature, but, man, you just, for guys that, you know, qualified bad, I mean, we'll say Ryan Timms again, look at him. I mean, he qualified, I think, 25th, 24th, last row of the heat race, doesn't make the show. And
25th. Yeah, 25th.
And that goes with everybody else that started in you know, the third and fourth row of every heat race.
Go ahead,
Chris. I was going to say, that's a pretty tricky racetrack. We've seen it over the years racing at Skagit Speedway. You get a lot of different kinds of racing services. It's different than most other places these guys go to. The Outlaws that have been there, and we've seen a lot of different winners out of the Outlaws pick up victories at Skagit Speedway. They've got a book on Skagit. That dirt is different than a lot of places they go to.
I'm going to semi-disagree with you a little bit there, Kirk, because when Steve Beitler was there, the track was more consistent.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I went there for the last 10 years, and I'm telling you, Steve Beitler, when he's out there, he is hands-on when it comes to preparing that racetrack. He's out there. He tells those water trucks what to do. He tells what the tillers need to do. He is out there, and he is a hands-on guy when it comes to prepping that racetrack out there. And I get it where you're coming from, Austin. The track was good that last time they raced out there. But what I'm saying is that you might just need to be a little more consistent on trying to get that racetrack prepared.
Okay, well, maybe my memory is not as good as yours, but I just remember a lot of different kinds of racetracks.
Have you been there?
The times that, no, but I've watched on racingboys.com when we had the live video, but it just seemed to me like when you had a three-night show out there, the Dirt Cup in the past, when the Lucas Oil ASCS sprint cars were out there, that the track on the opening night was a lot different than night two, and most times the best on night three.
Right.
Of whenever you were out there. So that's just been my recollection of it all. So the bottom line is that track surface out there is just a little different than most other places these guys go to.
Well, it's just dirt, Kurt. It's just dirt. It's all it is. It's just dirt.
Some dirt's different than others.
I know, but you make it sound like it's the most unique dirt anywhere.
Each racetrack has their own unique surface.
Yeah.
Right. But you know me.
Not one is the same. Not two is the same, I should say.
Oh, there's a lot of tracks that are the same, bud. There's a lot.
No.
Listen.
They might be. You might look at them be the same, but if you break it down, not the same.
Let me just tell you. I've traveled from New York to Seattle, from Michigan to Amarillo, Texas, and everywhere in between. And I've seen dirt that is the same. Some of it doesn't race good. Some of it races good. It just depends on the dirt. And I've seen racetracks. Listen, if you don't take care of the racetrack itself, you're not going to have a good racing surface. It's all in the preparation of the racetrack. And some racetracks, like when you get down in Texas, most of those racetracks is in Texas. The dirt is about the same. When you get out in Arizona, most of the racetracks, the dirt is about the same. When you get out into California, Hanford, Tulare, the dirt is about the same. When you get up to the Pacific Northwest, Grays Harbor, Skagit, they're a little bit different. The dirt is a little bit different between those two tracks, but there's tracks that are the same. I'm not buying into what you guys are selling.
But the point I'm trying to make is, and this is where I disagree with you, and I know you've been there, you've got more experience at this racetrack than certainly I do. But my recollection is, watching races there, no, it's not been consistent from one night to the next most of the times at Skagit Speedway. And I fully expect the racetrack to be different tonight than it was last night. And I think it'll probably be as good as it's been all weekend when they race on Saturday night out there, much like they had when the Dirt Cup had its finale out there that Tyler Courtney won. So I expect that racetrack to be different than it was last night. Traffic was a huge factor.
Well, let's hope it's better than last night.
Sure, and I think it probably will be.
Well, what they should have done is probably had Steve Beitler out there preparing that racetrack for him. That's what they should have done, in my eyes.
But I just don't remember it being that consistent like you do, even when Steve Beitler was running the show out there. I remember it being inconsistent from one night to the next. That's my remembrance of it.
Kirk, I totally disagree with you on that. I think Beitler had that track more consistent than not when he owned that racetrack. All right, Tammy says, happens most of the time with the World of Outlaw heat races. Most of the time, the features turn out pretty decent. You're right.
I thought it was an entertaining feature last night, especially between Speed and Schuart.
I thought it was a great race last night. I'm not taking anything away from it. The fact is that they had so many cars out on that racetrack that they got into lap traffic, and that's when the racing gets good.
Yeah, traffic.
Right.
Traffic was about as big a factor in that feature last night as you see most of the time.
Yeah.
And it certainly played an effect in Logan Schuart solidifying that victory over Brad Sweet.
Yeah. All right. And Rick says, you could be right. I thought Tim's passed one guy towards the end but didn't see the official results. He missed the show by one, Rick, last night for sure. So that's a pretty interesting story. I can't wait to watch tonight. There's a lot of great stuff going on tonight. The Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour race at Red Dirt has been rained out today.
Oh, my. Raining in Oklahoma, huh?
Yeah, rained out. I got the official tweet from Brian Holbert a little bit earlier today.
That sucks.
And so the All-Stars are going to be at Sharon Speedway tonight. Is Macri driving that car at Sharon tonight?
I believe so.
I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah,
I bet you a lot of those ASCS teams are glad that tonight canceled. If I was a full-time driver, I don't know if I'd be too happy with them making, especially if you're from Nebraska or, you know, out a little bit, making a team drive from Nebraska, let's say a Jason Martin, to
Red Dirt,
Oklahoma City.
And then 5 hours
all the way back to the lake.
It's about 5.5 hours from Red Dirt.
Yeah.
To Lake Ozark Speedway.
Yeah.
But that's
not the smartest idea.
That's not non-typical, though. I mean, we used to have to leave. We would race at US 36 on a Saturday night, and we would have to be in Burlington, Washington, and racing on Wednesday night.
That's not the next day. You know, you're talking about racing it on a Friday and a Saturday. That's racing on a Friday and on a Wednesday.
Austin, have you ever driven out there?
I don't need to drive out there. I'm just telling you.
It takes 2 days to drive out there.
Well, we should have a day off in between, driving out there and racing on a Wednesday.
Spoken like somebody that's never done it.
How far is that from Red Dirt Raceway to Lake Ozark Speedway? How far a drive is that?
5.5 hours. We just said that, Kurt.
5.5. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the World of Outlaw Tour. You know.
What are you trying to say there, Austin?
It's not an outlaw tour. You know, keep the races a little closer.
Well, let me just say this. Just so you know. ASCS, before this year, was the only real tour that traveled from coast to coast, other than the Outlaws. They're the only other series that traveled from the East Coast to the West Coast and everywhere in between. They were the only series to do it. Do the All-Stars travel out to the West Coast? No, they don't. So I'm just saying, the only thing that it changes ASCS, the national tour, from the World of Outlaws, first of all, the Outlaws have more dates, but I'm just telling you, they were the only series to travel from Pennsylvania to Seattle and everywhere in between. Montana, Washington, South Dakota, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, Pennsylvania, Bulls Gap, Tennessee. They're the only other series that did it up until this year. And to be honest with you, what they did this year was good. I like what they did this year. They cut it back. They don't make people pull all the way out there. People can't afford to pull all the way out there. I know, because it cost us a lot of money to do those broadcasts when we'd go out there. So I'm just saying, ASCS prior to this year was the only series that was a real national touring series.
Did I hear Scotty Cook say yesterday that they scheduled that red dirt race because there was a question whether the Lake Ozark weekend would still be on the Lucas Oil schedule?
Well, I think a lot of people worry about that because, to be honest with you, you just never know if Kenny Brown's going to cancel those events or not.
Yeah, just up to a few weeks ago, they weren't for sure that they would be going to Lake Ozark.
But if you're going to, let's say you're going to, you're going to do that, and you're going to try and book a race on Friday to have something for teams to race, why not, and you're not 100% sure on Saturday and Sunday at the lake, why don't you book something in, like, the Missouri region? There's a handful of tracks. You can make up a race at US 36. You know, you can, if Moberly was still open, go to Moberly. You know, Callaway Raceway needs to make up a $3,000 to win sprint car show.
No, I agree with
you
on that. Yeah.
I mean, teams would appreciate, you know, driving, you know, 2 hours in Missouri than 5 hours.
Mm.
You know, these guys, they don't.
No, I get it.
It's a regional series.
I hear where you're coming from. Absolutely hear where you're coming from. They could have rescheduled one of these races a little bit closer.
So a lot of these guys, as you say, are not upset that that race got rained out tonight.
Hold on. First of all, The guy that owns Red Dirt is partners with Terry Maddox. Do you know that? Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. So that's why they go to Red Dirt. How many broadcasts have we done from Red Dirt, Kirk? We've done a few down there, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never been there before. But
it's not a bad little
racetrack.
It's not too bad.
You've been there a few times.
Yeah, I've been there several times. All right, well, we're going to take a break when we come back. I want to get into this discussion about Casey Schumann becoming the new general manager at I-70 Speedway, or I-70 Motorsports Park, I should say. What's the future for Tommy Estes? There's a lot of questions here, and we're going to talk about that and more right here on Mostly Motorsports when we come back. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, we do some vinyl, the other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Good friend of mine, Sherry Imperial, give me a little update on Central Arizona Raceway. You know, we thought it might close down, and the word has it that Brad Whitfield is going to be taking over as the promoter at Casa Grande, Central Arizona Raceway. He's also the promoter down at Cook Paul Speedway, a racetrack that we used to do broadcast a lot. How many broadcasts we do down there at Cook Paul, Kirk? We did several, didn't we?
Well, you did a lot.
Did a lot down there in the early years. Yeah.
I went down there and helped you out.
You did one year. Yeah, you and Todd came down once, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hung out that casino down there. What was the name of the casino nearby?
Cook Paul.
It was called Cook Paul, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had cool. I flew into Phoenix and drove from Phoenix Airport to Yuma to get down to where you guys were at.
Did Todd come out there with you? No.
No, that was when we went to Tucson.
Oh, that was in Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, good news for the people that are big fans at Central Arizona Raceway. The racetrack is going to continue to thrive, and that's good news.
Yeah, that is good news.
Especially after hearing about all the racetracks that are having problems right now. You know, we know that I-80 is going to be closing up. It looks like I-30 is going to be closing up. There's a lot of rumors speculating that that Devil's Bowl might be closing up at the end of the year. We're going to be losing a lot of great racetracks over the winter this year.
Yeah, I know down in Arizona, Cocoa Ball has been running some races, but after Arizona Speedway closed last year, we haven't seen much out of Canyon Speedway. You kind of wonder how many racetracks were going to be left in Arizona.
Well, let's just hope that they continue to thrive out there. It's a great area. I love going to Arizona. You know what I'd like to go to, Kirk? I'd like to go to Gold Cup.
Chico.
I would love to go to a three-day show out there. I might talk myself into going out there.
Next year.
Yeah, next year. What's the date of that?
It's next weekend.
Why can't I go next weekend?
We're going to be at Kansas Speedway.
Oh, I got to.
We got a lot of NASCAR stuff going on.
You know what? Do I really care?
I do.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep in my own bed and go to NASCAR races next week.
Me personally,
I'd
rather go to Gold Cup.
You would?
Yes.
I'd rather sleep in my own bed and see the Cup guys go out.
Kirk, I like to travel, if you don't know.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, next weekend, I'd rather go to Kansas Speedway. But that's just me.
Well, that's you, not me.
Someday, though, I'd like to go out and check that out, Chico California.
Can I say this without ticking anybody off? I hope I don't. I don't hope I tick off anybody around here anyway. You know, me personally, I was a pavement racer for a long time. And I watched that race at North Wilkesboro. And I'm not going to lie to you, I got a little bored during that race. Austin, were you with me a little bit on that one?
I don't know what happened to you overnight. That is not what you said yesterday. You said you loved it.
I loved the last 20 laps of the race. It was good.
Well, let's be honest here. I like pavement racing.
Right. It's strategy. It's all about strategy.
It's never good. No, it's
never
good.
It's good sometimes.
Until the last 25 laps, when you go up there and race it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why sprint car racing and dirt racing, in my opinion, is superior, because it's 30 laps. You race at 100%, 110% from lap 1 to lap 30, 35 even, 25 even laps, and that's it. You know, yes, it's not easy to race pavement either, but, you know, there's a lot of strategy that goes in it too. But if you're wanting to be entertained for a short period of time, it's dirt racing. But, I mean, I'm not – do I want to go out there and just spend 24 hours watching pavement racing? No, not really, but there are some pavement races that, you know, do entertain me.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Austin, in your dad's day – I-70 Speedway was a unique racetrack. You could go out and watch the races at I-70 Speedway, and you would go there knowing that you might see something that you've never seen before. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Oh, no doubt about it. That was...
It was one of the most exciting racetracks to go to of any racetrack I've been to.
I was thrilled to death every time I drove out there to watch a race. It didn't disappoint most nights. I'll tell you that. They would destroy I don't know how many cars every night out there.
Right.
Fortunately, we didn't get too many serious injuries out there. It was dangerous, but the number of cars that they hauled off buggy style with wreckers on both ends, that happened
a lot.
Almost every night you went to go see races out there. Yeah.
You could destroy a car out there real quick. Straps got into a super modified at Oswego, and he won't be bored. You know what? I love super modified racing. But you know what? The thing about super modified racing is that they're so fast. It depends on the racetrack, what racetrack they're on. They could get spread out a little bit, right? I mean, you know what I love about super modifieds? And just so you know, Pete, I love the engineering and how they make these race cars and how they make them go so fast. I absolutely love super modified racing. So, you know, we were big Kenny Weld fans back in the day around here. You don't even know who Kenny Weld is, do you?
Me?
Yeah.
I have to now.
Oh, you're part of the Weld family, aren't you?
I'm not in blood with them, but...
Well, I know, but you're not blood
related. I'm associated with Weld Racing and them being the sole supplier for our wheels on our sprint car team.
They've been pretty good to you, haven't they?
They have been.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about this Casey Schumann thing a little bit. What did you guys think when you heard the news yesterday? First, we'll let you start, Austin. What did you think when you heard Casey Schumann was going to be coming on board at I-70 Speedway as the new general manager? The first thought I had was, where's Tommy Estes going, right?
Yeah, I just, when I first saw it and reacted to it, I was like, well, another one in, another one out kind of deal. I mean, I felt like when I first saw it that they've been through a lot of, you know, GMs and promoters there. That might have been only, what, I think Schumann's two or three. Mm-hmm. So I figured that they would have more in and out. But, no, I think Casey will be a good fit. Casey's, you know, did pretty well with the World of Outlaw Late Model Series as the competition director. You know, he was, you know, pretty well respected over there. And then, you know, he was kind of heading the Extreme Outlaw Midget and Sprint Car program as they debuted this year. And, you know, he'll continue to do that for next year. And you know, he's taken that series and done pretty well with it. And I think if you're looking at, you know, Schumann's like a checklist of things to do in, like, you know, outside of being a driver, I think, you know, either being a GM or a promoter of a racetrack was like one of his last you know, checklist items. So
right.
I think he'll be a good fit for I-70. Hopefully we can get some big events and get some big crowds and some, you know, big publicity.
Yeah,
stutter over that.
That's all right.
For the event. And yeah, hopefully we can see I-70 grow a little bit more.
So Tammy said, now it makes sense why Steve Francis left the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series to go to the World of Outlaws. Schumann must have been in the works for a while. Does that make sense to you, Kurt?
Yeah, but I wouldn't put two and two together that way. Steve Francis was rumored to be out at Lucas Oil Late Model Series for quite a while. And when he did,
where did
leave,
you hear
he
that,
found
Kurt?
A landing
hold on,
spot.
Hold on. Where did you hear that?
I just heard that.
Where'd you hear it at?
Sources that I won't divulge right now.
Yeah.
But I had heard that he was rumored to be on his way out at the Lucas Oil Late Model Series before he ended up leaving that series. And
is your source solid?
Ended up over at World of Outlaws.
Is your source solid?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wouldn't necessarily put two and two together, the fact that Steve Francis ended up over at the World of Outlaws, that meant that Casey Schumann was on his way out. But to me, that's probably more coincidence than anything.
Hmm. Well, it just makes me think, how many general managers have we been through now at I-70? What was the guy's name prior to Tommy Estes?
Travis Hilton.
Then Tommy Estes. Now Casey Schumann.
Mark Olson, he never even promoted a race.
Mark Olson never even did a race, did he?
No.
So we've had four now.
We've had four general managers, and the racetrack has been open how long?
2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
But they hired those two, the first two, before they even turned a lap at the track.
Right.
So I don't know if you could go ahead and count them or not. They don't know if they did really much, but they had to do something.
Now, Tommy Estes is a pretty capable individual. We've known Tommy for a long time. He's done a pretty good job of operating races and series in the past.
I think Tommy's done a decent job right. out there, to be honest with you.
The fact of the matter is they haven't gotten really big crowds for their events
well,
out
that's
here
true.
At I-70 Motorsports Park. Now, I don't know what the reason for that is, but hiring Casey Schumann to replace Tommy Estes, if that indeed is what is happening here, I don't know what Tommy Estes'
right.
role in the future is with I-70, if there is any role at all. It doesn't really say in the press release what happened to him, but I would have thought that maybe bringing in more of a marketing guy to come in to take over that position would have been something that I would have expected had they
he's got his wife
replaced
to join him as well, Brooke, as
maybe
well.
Maybe she's
so.
Part of it too, but no marketing doubt. Is going to have to be a big factor as far as the future success of I-70 Motorsports Park. They got to start drawing, first of all, staging events and drawing big crowds to those events, because those grandstands out there, they seat a lot of people, and so far they have not, outside of the World of Outlaws race they put on right. for their first event, they've not drawn big crowds to their events out there so far.
Dave Tyson, he chimed in. He said, I-70 has been poorly promoted. 8 out of 10 people who I speak with don't even realize that I-70 Speedway Motorsports Park is open again.
That's a good statement that he just
right.
that Dave just made. A lot of people don't know that some of these events are even being held.
So here's the question, the big question out of all of this, right? So Casey Schumann is still going to be a part of the Extreme Series with the World of Outlaws. That was stated in the statement that he was still going to be a part of it. Does this mean that there's a chance that the World of Outlaws comes back to I-70 Speedway, yes or no? What do you think?
I would say yes. Yeah, the fact that Casey Schumann's going to continue with the Extreme Outlaw Series in 2023 and also be the general manager at I-70, I would think that they'll restore the relationship they had with the World Racing Group to begin with that soured after the World of Outlaws were there a year ago. So I would have to assume that they'll try to get them back in the fold. Now, we don't know what all the issues were between the World Racing Group and I-70 Motorsports Park, why the Outlaws didn't come back this year.
There was a rub.
But there was a rub. There was no doubt about that. Yeah. And the fact that Casey Schumann, it states in the press release that he's still going to have, still going to operate the Extreme Outlaw Series, or at least have a position in it.
Austin, what do you think about all this?
I wouldn't be surprised to see a co-sanctioned Outlaw show with the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series there next year.
Yeah, you'd have to assume that.
If you already are working for the World Racing Group and promoting the Extreme Series for both the Midget and the Sprint Car Series, and you're going to go to a track and you're going to want to bring in that series that's already a part of the World Racing Group, the issues that they had in the past wouldn't matter anymore. Because whoever they had in the past, they're gone. That was years ago. You got a new guy in there now.
Let me just say this, because Tammy's asking right now. For those of us not in the area, why didn't the Outlaws come back? I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but there was a little bit of dispute over money. That's all I know. I don't know the details. I don't know anything about it. But all I know is there was a little bit of dispute over the money that came in for that race. And one of the two parties didn't feel like they were done right. I don't know which one it was. I can't tell you about it. I don't know the details about it.
Same track owner, though. Chris Payne still owns the facility. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the events that we've attended out there just haven't drawn big crowds.
Well, let me say this.
Tommy, only one event has.
The World of Outlaws.
The World of Outlaws.
A year ago.
Let me say this, though. The racetrack is racing better now than it has. For the last three races that I've went out there, the racetrack has been much better than it was when they first started racing out there. They've learned how to widen out the track, make the racing a little bit better. Would anybody else agree with
me? Oh, I agree with that. The USMTS Modifieds put on a whale of a show out there a couple weeks ago.
And I got to give Tommy Estes credit for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to put fannies in those seats out there. They put in a lot of seats out at I-70 Motorsports Park and outside of the World of Outlaws event a year ago, and I think maybe the All-Star event a year ago drew a pretty decent-sized crowd. The events that they've had out there haven't drawn huge crowds yet.
Right. So let me just say this. Dave Tyson said that they were going to different tracks and not repeating all the same tracks consistently. We had Brian Carter on the show, the president of the World of Outlaws, and that's what he said. But I'm just telling you, there was a rub between the two parties at I-70 Speedway. I know this for a fact.
And that was a big showcase event to open up the racetrack when the World of Outlaws came in. And they drew a great crowd. For those two nights, it was the same weekend as the Cup Series was out at Kansas Speedway.
Yeah.
And they drew a great crowd. But they did not come back. The World of Outlaws did not return in 2022. Yeah. So there was something going on.
There's a rub. There's no doubt about that. All right. And we got a phone call coming in. And the phone lines are open up. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. If you want to give us a call right here in the studio, we've got an open line, 816-833-8553. Give us a ring if you have an opinion on anything that we've been talking about this morning so far. We'd like to hear from you. If you want to talk about last night's race at Skagit Nationals, or if you want to talk about Casey Schumann coming to I-70 Speedway, or some of the races that are going to be coming up tonight. The All-Stars are going to be racing at Sharon Speedway. The IRA Sprint Cars are at Dodge County Fairgrounds tonight. The Pete Fraser Memorial is going to be going on at Port City Raceway tonight as well. And the championship night at Utica Rome Speedway tonight. So if you want to watch any of that, you can watch all that on Flow. And then tonight on Dirt Vision, you got the World of Outlaws at the Skagit Nationals, the World of Outlaw Late Models at Smoky Mountain Speedway. And they've got a weekly show at Williams Grove and another weekly show at Jacksonville Speedway as well. And if you want to watch a little modified racing tonight, you can watch USMTS at Mississippi Thunder Speedway tonight.
I can't wait to get out to Lakeside Speedway tonight for the first of three big nights for the Lucas Oil MLRA Late Model Series.
Yep.
Action out there. The weather looks great for tonight, so looking forward to heading out and watching some late model racing.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good out there as well. So we got Frank here. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Frank. Frank, where are you calling from?
KC.
All right, Frank. Go ahead.
Two things. I'm listening to the show on the phone, so I want to switch over and hear your comments. But number one, agree with you totally on the marketing aspect of I-70. What a beautiful facility. What a great racetrack.
Beautiful place.
What a great potential. Why do they not just take the money, and I know it's easy for us to armchair quarterback,
right,
but take the money and invest or hire a primo marketing group, kind of sort of like the company that Kendra Jacobs worked for during her Knoxville tenure. The second thing I want to say is that I want to reconfirm that you have talked about Lakeside doing the smaller track within the bigger one.
Yep.
I 100% agree with you now after watching the late models run at the Davenport track. I'm going to get off and switch over and listen to what you have to say, especially about the marketing, because, you know, I live out north of the river, and racing friends of mine are like, oh, I didn't know I-70, you know, was back in action
right again. Yeah.
So just to prove a point. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Frank, for calling in. Appreciate it. You're right. You know, maybe that's what I-70 Motorsports Park needs to do, is hire somebody like Aspire Sports and Entertainment. You know, they're the management company that runs Knoxville Raceway. And they must be doing a pretty good job up there bringing in the corporate involvement. Because, let's be fair, the weekly crowd at Knoxville, do you feel like it could cover the purse every night, Kurt?
No, historically it has not been able to, but they had a good crowd for the last night. Austin was up there last Saturday night, and they had a great crowd up there.
But for the most part on their weekly shows, though,
yeah.
I mean, they need to bring in a corporate America to help them offset the cost of the expenses.
At I-70.
No, at Knoxville.
At Knoxville, which they've done. And bringing in Spire Sports has done a great deal of good for Knoxville. No doubt about that. But I-70 Motorsports Park, and the caller brought up a good point, and I felt this going out there, that a lot of people don't know what's going on out here. You know, I'm standing out there, and I get the feeling that there's not a lot of buzz about the events going on out there, that a lot of people don't know what's going on out there, that we're out here in an event, and there's not enough people that know this is going on out here.
They need to run some television ads in the Kansas City area, in surrounding areas, to get the people drawn into the racetrack.
It's a great facility.
It is a beautiful facility. One of the nicer tracks in the country. Just to be fair.
And there's just not been enough buzz created over the last year or so about the events that they've had. And they've had some great events. I mean, the Lucas Oil Late Models, USMTS, they had the All-Stars out there. And, you know, if you schedule those events and those big series in there's got to be more promotion going on.
Right. I want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going on through October 1st. It's all about Ascot Park. It was in Gardena, California. It's going to be going on through, again, October 1st. They've got video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, all kinds of cool cars up there as well that raced at Ascot Park back in the day. It's just a tremendous tribute to such a great racetrack. Ascot Park was one of the very best racetracks in America, folks. And if you want to know the history about that racetrack, you need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. It's such a great exhibit. They've got a bunch of old cars up there that raced up there. You know, I've always talked about it, the Jimmy Oskey old paint car. I love that car up there. It's in its original state. It hasn't been restored. I love the patina on that race car. Pernelli Jones car up there. Dean Thompson car up there as well. So many great cars up there. Go up and check it out up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Again, that's going to be going on through October 1st. If you don't know, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, folks. And when you're there, go purchase you a ticket, a raffle ticket, for the 2022 Triple X chassis, a complete 410 race car that they are going to be giving away on Friday, December 16th. This is a race-ready 410 sprint car, folks. You need to buy a raffle ticket right now. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in person, you can do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And if you see Bob Baker while you're up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys sent you. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. Stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. One thing I didn't touch on that Frank called in about a little bit about shortening up Lakeside Speedway. I'm not in favor of shortening up Lakeside Speedway myself. I think that would be a huge mistake to do that to that racetrack. Does anybody else in this room agree with me or disagree with me? What do you guys think?
Well, I think it would be really tough to do that. You talk about, you know, the water in the infield when it rains. You know, shorten up that racetrack, putting a smaller racetrack in the infield.
It just flood out easier.
Easier said than done to make that happen. And the expense of cutting that racetrack down would be a lot.
Austin, your opinion?
Yeah, Kurt kind of got to it right there at the end about the expense. I wouldn't. You know, I don't. We have too many short tracks around here anyways. The only last really true half mile, it's not even really a half. It's close enough to a half mile. If you run the wall at Lakeside, it's right at a half mile.
Right.
And the only other one we have is Sedalia, and Sedalia, we don't know the feature of it. So, and we only get one race of the year. So, you know, I think, you know, guys, you know, like having, you know, something different. And I think it needs to, and the history of it, of being a half mile is you know, really important to me. So yeah, I wouldn't.
As a driver, you prefer to drive on a bigger track.
Yeah, because I mean it we have too many short tracks around here anyways, and you know, we need to be, you know,
need pretty, a few big tracks.
Yeah, you need to kind of break it up a little bit too. So you know, and also the history of Lakeside being a big track, you know, should stay the same way too. So you know, on that note, you know, that's what I would think about that. And then, you know, the expense of it too. You know, Lakeside has a lot of issues with it right now. You know, half the lights, not a little less than half. Backstretch lights don't work sometimes. Lights in one and two don't work. You know, their scoreboard struggles sometimes. You know, the fences could use some updates, and the facility could use some facelifts. So there's a lot of money that they could wrap up in making some really good capital improvements that would just make the fans' overall experience there a lot better. And but, you know, if you're wanting to make shorten the track up, which is going to be cost way more than doing those capital improvements. And we're already not doing those capital improvements. It just wouldn't make sense to do, because I mean, you're not going to put the money into the facility to make it better anyways. That's what I was trying to get to anyways.
I you know, as a guy that raced out at Lakeside and I-70 both, I just can't even think about them shortening up Lakeside Speedway. I think it's such a great, it's kind of an in-between track, right? I mean, like you said, Austin, if you ran around the wall all the way around, it might be a half mile, right? But it's measured at 0.4 mile, right? And I think it's the ideal size racetrack. And I know it's not cheap to race out there weekly and run on a weekly race, run out there weekly. Austin, that's the people that probably complain more than anything, is the people that race out there weekly, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just a lot. There's a
little group of people that want it shortened
up. The thing is, Lakeside's this year and last, they keep the place so slick that you're not even hard on the equipment. You might go out there and run hot laps wide open. Half the time, they don't even run it wide open.
It's not hammered down, though.
And because it's heavy. And I don't see anybody driving that hard to really be hard on your equipment. And then the track's backs up and it's so slick and slow from the heat race to the feature that you're not hard on equipment. The only thing you're going to be hard on is tires. So
just keep it slicked off.
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't like that.
You know, I think I kind of like what Ryan's saying here. Ryan Raglan, who always helps the Racing Boys. He's always such a great help to us. You know what? Let's shorten up I-70. If there is a racetrack that needs to be shortened up, it's I-70 Speedway. Would you guys agree with that?
No.
I think it's too fast. I like going fast and driving in a race car. I love going fast. But the thing about it is that I don't now, let me step back a step. The last two or three races that I've been to, they've widened out the racetrack, and it's been pretty good. If they can continue to do that, then the racetrack's going to be fine. But if they don't know how to manage it, if Casey Schumann comes in there, and I think Casey's going to do a great job. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. But you need to know how to make sure that that track is wide. Don't run in turn three real wide and then cut down the bottom where it's real narrow coming off of turn four. That's the one pet peeve I have about I-70 Speedway is that Tommy Estes figured out a formula to widen that racetrack out to make it to where the late models and some of the sprint cars, they would run up there on the top a little bit more. And that's what we need to see more at I-70 Speedway, I think.
Yeah, that's one great thing that Tommy had done out there is the racetrack.
He's done a great job at it.
But the biggest issue at I-70 is still they got to put more fannies in the seats out there.
Yeah.
They got to do that. And but Lakeside Speedway did a great job of fixing the parking lot area and smoothing that all out. They've done a tremendous
job.
They've
done a great – listen, the facility itself right. is excellent.
But the next project that they've got to work on, and they're probably going to have to spend some money doing it, is fixing those lights out there because that's going to be a big issue, and it's not going to get better
Austin,
as time goes on. They've got to fix the electrical system out there and the lights.
Austin, did you have a problem see when you were out there on the racetrack?
You can see, but it's dark. The back stretch is pretty dark.
Yeah.
And if you're in a dark car, it makes it harder too. If you race a sprint cars out there, you got a top wing on it, and you take, you know, all the light that would come into your car out of it, and yeah, it's just, you know, it floods so well. It floods every about 10 years or so.
Yeah, a lot of the issues that they've had out there is because of the floods.
Yeah.
That's kind of ruined all the infrastructure for the wiring and everything underneath the racetrack. But that's the next item on their agenda out there is they've got to spend money to fix that or they won't have any races.
Bob said I would race our sprint car at I-70 every time I could. Listen, I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I'm just trying to make it a little bit better. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say.
And the only reason why I-70, you see the entry so wide into three is because of the dog leg. Because you come off of two.
Because
it might be a little bit different now because it's a little wider, but you come off of two, and you're set off in a straight line, and you run right through the backstretch, the first part of it, cut through the dog leg, and now the backstretch just now turned to your left.
Yeah, that dog leg's
now
always
you're,
been there.
Now it has, and you're right, but you're still going straight, and you're pointed right to the top of three.
Right.
And you just follow the momentum down. You turn down. Now you're going across all the banking and all the – and you carry all the speed and the momentum down the hill.
But when you raced out
there – it's just that much longer.
When you raced out there, it was really narrow getting off a top – off a four, though, wasn't it?
It was about a lane above, like, the middle.
Yeah.
Just a little past, you know, the middle.
Yeah. But it was still pretty narrow for turn four. You know, I-70 has always been that way, though, right? I mean, when your dad raced there, when I raced there back in the day, when it was pavement, well, you come up off of turn four, man, it narrowed up really, really tight getting up off of turn four. It's always been that way. Just
believe it.
Huh?
Believe it. Forces you to either run the bottom and stick it, or if you can, you know, hustle the top and keep it pointed off the wall off of four and get a run. Because if everybody's... It gets tight, so it forces everybody to run the bottom, and it leaves the top fresh and has enough moisture in the cushion to lean on. If you can just get your stuff to rotate off the exit and get a good run down the front stretch, you're going to drive by guys. We saw it happen at the All-Star show and at the ASCS show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, don't you feel, though, that they've done a better job of widening the track out, though,
yes,
Austin? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, let me ask you this quick question before we get off the air. And I'll pose this again tomorrow on the show. But is there somebody out there that you think is going to pick up the short track nationals if I-30 sells? Is there anybody? Is there a racetrack where we could take the short track nationals and be a true short track nationals? You got to have enough grandstands because it's a big crowd. Where would you take that race? If you had a choice to bring it to anywhere, where would you take it?
Staying track size, true to the name, short track
it's
nationals.
It's
got to
be a short track.
The ditch at West Memphis?
No, there's not enough grandstands there, I don't think.
Now, somebody mentioned that on a Facebook post, and I believe they have a two-day show right after short track or before short track.
Yeah.
And it would conflict with having a big event there back-to-back. I don't know if the facility is not there to have it at this facility or at mm-hmm. this track. But if you want to talk about having a short track, double X.
There's not enough grandstands.
That is short track.
I know, but there's not enough grandstands.
Creek County Speedway.
Creek County would not be a bad idea. I think it would work.
Where I would move it.
Because Creek puts on some pretty damn good racing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where I would move it.
Yeah. I think that would be a good place to move it. I'm sitting here trying to think off the top of my head, where's a really good little short track that you could take it to? You know, maybe West Memphis. Maybe it might work there.
Humboldt would be a good one.
Humboldt. What about, is Moberly too big for it to be a
short? Moberly's a monster.
Yeah. It's too big, isn't it?
It's about the same size as the 80.
What about taking it to Lucas Oil Speedway? Is that too big?
Well, you already got a big event. Would,
they have two big events.
You
with
already got the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial.
That don't mean nothing to me.
I wouldn't add it to Lucas Oil. No. You have the open wheel showdown in May, and Jesse's race in September. I wouldn't add in that. And they're Rick, more interested
Rick,
in.
Rick brings up a good point. Does Creek have the pit size? I've been there one time, and I don't remember. You know what? That might be the biggest problem they have at Creek County is not having enough pits.
So is that track landlocked? Is there any way that could expand the property?
It's locked between a road and a railroad system.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Interstate and railroad.
The railroad tracks run right behind it, Kirk. You've ever been there?
I've not.
You've not been to Creek County?
Nope.
All these years, you've never been to Creek County.
I've been here trying to monitor everything on this end. But I'll get there soon. But I just thought of that because the Short Track Nationals, when it was held in October in a bigger city, and I was thinking in that kind of a circumstance, Tulsa would be maybe the next best place, but I was just kind of thinking out of the top of my mind, not knowing the infrastructure of what's needed
out
to stage a big event.
Did you say out of the top of your mind?
Off the top of my mind. But Creek County is the first place I thought of. Well, yeah. other than the ditch at West Memphis. If you're talking short track nationals.
Yeah. Steve says I-55.
Yeah. Peavely.
Yeah.
That'd be a great place.
That wouldn't be a bad place for it, would it? That'd be a damn good place to do it, wouldn't it? Peavely?
Absolutely.
Man, that would be great.
And we know they can stage a big event.
They got
that's
enough,
not a problem.
They got enough grandstands there, for sure. All right, thanks, folks, for tuning in to today's show. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, Kirk and I will be on a show that we've been doing for the last almost 22, 23 years on Sports Radio 810 WHB tomorrow. It's called Track Talk, and we will be talking a lot about some of these subjects. I'm sure we'll talk about I-70 Speedway as well, I-70 Motorsports Park, I should say. And we'll talk about Casey Schumann and more. That show starts at 8 a.m. Central Time. You can watch it right here on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube and racingboys.com as well. What do you
want
to add?
And we got Pat Warren, the president of Kansas Speedway, coming on the show in the first hour tomorrow morning to talk about the big weekend out of Kansas Speedway next weekend for the second race of the NASCAR playoffs. We got the trucks, the Cup Series, Xfinity, and ARCA all at Kansas Speedway next weekend. So we'll talk to Pat Warren about that.
Yeehaw. All right. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. Today's show has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.